Our next speaker is Ala Khalil. She's going to talk about contribution of tree windbreaks to soil organic matter content in the U.S. Great Plains area.
Thank you so much for the introduction, and I think Lalit's presentation was the perfect segue for my presentation because he mentioned that tree windbreaks are kind of like one of the practices of agroforestry system. So let's get it started. I'll just provide you with some historical background and the role of a tree windbreaks in the Great Plains region. I'll talk a little bit about our project overall objectives and goal, and then narrow it down to much more my part in this research. I'll talk a little bit about study sites, moving on to the results, and then the summary. So tree windbreaks have been planted extensively in the U.S. Great Plains following the Prairie State Forestry Project after the Dust Bowl of the 1930s. Windbreaks, or shelter belt, are multiple lines of trees and shrubs. They were planted in the red polygon you see on the map now, or as it's also known, the shelter belt zone. So the project, the Prairie States project, ran from 1935 to 1942. They planted over 200 million trees in over 18,000 miles in six states. So they planted basically the trees in order to reduce the wind speed and to alleviate the drought conditions. So what happened over the several past decades that some of the trees died out. A lot of them have been replaced with the crops. Some of them, or the old remaining ones, are kind of degraded. They haven't been managed very well. So, but on the other hand, some of them just worked fine and farmers liked them. Windbreaks not only reduced the wind speed, which had a great influence in the microclimate, and also reduced the soil erosion. Also, windbreaks have been recognized for their ability to provide ecosystem, economic, and environmental services, such as the carbon sequestration, which I'm interested in, the crop protection, habitat and diversity, bioenergy feedstock, and conserved energy. So all sort of, like, there's a recent interest on what to do with these windbreaks. Do we maintain them in the landscape, or kind of like, do we put more for their ecosystem economic services, or do we renovate them? So renovation is basically cut down the old degraded trees and use their woody biomass for potential bioenergy market. So, and then replace the old ones with faster growing trees. So all sort of these questions were the outgrowth of our project. Our current study focuses in two aspects, the carbon sequestration potential and dynamics, which is my part, and the bioenergy potential, which is the other student in our department did, where she basically conducted a survey in the Great Plains just to examine the farmers' interest in supplying woody biomass for the bioenergy potential. So she basically found that 10% of farmers are very interested in supplying the trees, 39% were not interested, 51% were somewhat interested. Overall, 61% of the farmers are at least somewhat interested in growing woody biomass, especially when they observe the benefits that the trees can provide in their lands. So my objective in this study is to quantify the carbon sequestration potential and to just notice or study the influence of these trees on the relevant soil properties. So in order to do that, we conducted a study in the Great Plains states. We actually chose four states, the Dakotas, Nebraska, and Kansas. We chose two sites in each state. So the red stars actually represent our sites. And in this study, we decided to go deep. So we sampled to 1.5. We dug up a soil pit in the tree field and on the adjacent crop field. And we also took two auger holes adjacent to the to each pit. We sampled from 0 to 1.5 centimeter at multiple depth increments. We also took bulk density samples so we can calculate our carbon stocks from the concentration. This summarizes the study sites. We actually identified these sites so they can provide us or kind of like give us regional assessment of the tree growth, the tree habitat, and sort of the soil type, the climate that's in the area. We have one site, the McLeod, North Dakota. It's on fine side. The rest are on heavy to medium texture soil. The tree species are kind of like pine. We have one east red cedar. The rest are broad leaves. We have a quite large range of tree age variation from 15 to 90 years old. Three of our sites are on row crop production. The rest are on forage productions, either on grasslands, hay, land, hay, alfalfa, and all sorts of these things. So the green arrows represent the sites that were cultivated, but at the time the trees were planted, they were converted to non-cropping system. This captures the variation in the mean annual temperature and the mean annual precipitation. The difference in temperature was 6.6 Celsius, and precipitation was almost 263 millimeter. Then the soils were processed for different analyses. Today I'm going to focus on the organic carbon and some kind of like aggregate stability. So I'm going to focus on one site, the McPherson, Kansas. This is a very unique site because the trees have been planted into native prairie, so the soils have never been cultivated beneath them. Also, the tree is Osage orange, and the crop is milo. It used to be wheat and then sorghum, kind of like a small grains. On the left, I have the McPherson soil organic carbon concentration, gram per kilogram, with depth. The red for tree, the orange for crop. As we would expect, higher carbon concentration at the surface and it decreases with depth. As you can see, the dramatic significant difference of the tree carbon versus the crop carbon, and our data indicates that this can be attributed to the loss of organic matter through the cultivation of a smaller grain. On the right, I have the soil organic carbon stocks, which basically just shows the influence of bulk density changes. And as you probably noticed, the difference of the shape of the profile as a result of the bulk density. And that's why it's really important to get bulk density measurements for your stocks. And this brings us to the bulk density. So we found a lower bulk density beneath treatment breaks relative to the adjacent field, in this case, milo. And at the surface layers, as you can see, the 10 centimeter, the 30 centimeter, again, the red for tree. So it was kind of like lower than the adjacent field. Moving on to the water stable aggregates. In this particular site, the water stable aggregates were was better under the trees relative to the crop on the left graph here. At the 0 to 10 centimeter. However, on the right graph, this is the aggregate, the macro aggregate, and we found that in this site, the greater proportion of the soil is on the large, small macro aggregates. So finally, the big finish for all of our sites, the soil organic carbon stocks. I have the first three sites. These are the sites that on row cropping production, and the blue represent the sites that they are on forage production, and the green numbers represent the increase of carbon stocks to 1.25 meter relative to the adjacent field. And 6 out of 8 sites, the trees had more soil organic carbon to 1.25 meter. The sites on the green boxes, actually the sites that they were cultivated, and at the time the trees were planted, they were converted to non-cropping system. So if you see a market here, we wouldn't expect that much change. We planted three window breaks side by side to prairie. The Corsica East, there was a difference between the tree and the grasslands, the hay in this case. But this could be, the tree is kind of like 15 years old. The low rainfall, which makes it like the growth slower. The low tree biomass and all sorts of these things. We also have one site with an anomaly, the meat site. And I would be happy to talk about this if you have any question about it. Total nitrogen as well just showed the same pattern as the soil organic carbon. 6 out of 8 sites had, the trees had more total nitrogen to 1.25 meter. So in summary, the soil organic carbon stocks were higher on average 2.9 kilogram meter beneath the tree window breaks than the adjacent field. And as I mentioned, two sites had lower stocks beneath the trees. So the differences of the carbon stocks between the tree window breaks and the adjacent fields ranged from 10 to minus 5 kilogram per squared meter. And also lower bulk densities were observed for soils beneath tree window breaks and at the surface layers. And the carbon sequestration, it was higher. It could be attributed to the absence of tillage, the tree biomass, the increased organic inputs by the litter, and the reduction of wind erosion, of water erosion. And of course, to understand the soil organic carbon quality and dynamics, we did analyze the PAMA fractionation. We combined this with the carbon source assessment because we need only not only to understand how much carbon was beneath the trees, we need to know the source, how much is going to be in the soil, the mean residence time. So we did analyze the carbon isotopes. We are working in the data, but this would be insightful for providing a big picture about our research. With that, I would like to acknowledge the funding agency, and of course, I would like to thank the farmers, the landowners, the USDA staff, the soil water conservation and NRCS staff, University of Nebraska Lincoln people, and of course, our lab technicians and the undergrad students who did most of the field work. So thank you for all of them. And with that, thank you so much, and I will be happy to answer your questions.
Any questions? How old are these new trees?
In the site?
Yeah.
90 years old.
New ones?
We have new ones. We have on the Corsica, the one I showed here. I have the table here so we can just jump in. Yes, so we have trees, as I mentioned, 15 years old to 90. Yeah, the one I present was the McPherson, Kansas site, so it was like older than 90 years old.
How do you select the sites, two sites from each state? What's the rationale for that?
Yeah, so we decided to select the sites so we can kind of have a big picture of the tree, the common tree species. We didn't want the sites that have black locusts all over the sites because you probably can't find it. So we want a regional assessment from that region. So, for example, in McPherson, we had an Osage orange and a black locust, and also we wanted the sites all to present the soil type. The climate as well, yeah. No, actually, as I mentioned, we dug a soil pit in the tree windbreak field, and on the adjacent field, we also took two auger holes. just to improve our sampling. And as I mentioned, we went deep from 0 to 1.5 meters. So this kind of giving you an opportunity to see what happens down in the profile.
So usually when you dug the soil pit, same distance from the adjacent.
Yeah, we try to be more consistent. In some sites, it depends on the landscape. For example, the Corsica East, the Corsica East one, we had some kind of artifact, but we tried to be consistent. Probably they were 20 meters apart. We didn't want to be close so the tree influence can affect our results. At the same time, we didn't want to run the risk of being in different soil type. And that's why the meat site showed an anomaly, because after the digging the pit, the soil profile description showed that we were on two different sites. So this kind of the only site showed an artifact. That was like the minus 5 kilogram. Yeah.
Any more questions to Anna? All right, thank you very much.
Yep.